I hope your Christmas day was wonderful. I hope you got maybe a present that made your eyes go big. I hope you gave a present that you were proud of. I hope you giggled. I hope you ate something sweet and then went back and snuck another one. I hope you rested. I hope you remembered Jesus. Maybe everything wasn't idyllic for your Christmas. It rarely is, but I hope there were moments of wonder. I really do, even if it wasn't exactly what you were expecting, but whatever is. Annie Dillard writes about not getting what you're expecting when she writes about going to Bethlehem to see the spot under the Church of the Nativity where Jesus was born. She says it wasn't exactly what she was expecting. She writes, "There in the Church of the Nativity, I took worn stone stairways to descend to levels of dark rooms, chapels, and dungeon-like corridors where hushed people passed. The floors were black stone or cracked marble. Dense brocades hung down old stone walls. Oil lamps hung in layers. Each polished silver or brass lamp seemed to absorb more light than its orange flame emitted, so the more lamps shone, the darker the space. Now I climb down innumerable dark stone stairs to the main part, the deep basement, the grotto of the Nativity. The grotto was down yet another smoky stairway at the back of a stone cave far below street level. This was the place. It smelled of wet sand. It was a narrow cave about 10 feet wide. Cracked marble paved it. Bunched tapers, bending grotesque in the heat, lighted a corner of the floor. People had to kneel one by one under arches of brocade hangings and stretched into a crouch down among dozens of gaudy hanging lamps to see it. A 14-point silver star, 2 feet in diameter, covered a raised bed of marble floor at the cave wall. This silver star was the X that marked the spot. Here, just here, the infant got born. 2,000 years of Christianity began here, where God emptied himself into man. In the center of the silver star was a circular hole. That was the bullseye." Her description reminds me of my own trip there years ago. This was where the Word became flesh. Something should happen when the Word of God becomes flesh, right? All the Gospels present Jesus as the key that unlocks the meaning of everything created by God. Norman Wirzba says, "One way we know this is the Gospels show creation and creatures responding to Jesus in ways that welcome and even yearn for his life-affirming, life-empowering presence. The birth of Jesus is described as an event of cosmic significance, with a star arising and signaling the location of his birth. At the baptism of Jesus, the heavens open, and the Spirit descends in the form of a dove. He calls people, and they immediately respond by following him. At the transfiguration, a cloud overshadows him. The sick respond to him by being healed. Dead bodies come to life again at his command. A storm ceases at his word. Peace, be still." Whatever animating power is at work in creatures and in all creation is tuned into the power at work in Jesus. So you would think that, you would hope that, being right there in the actual place where he was born would be some kind of mystical experience, right? Like you'd hear the angels singing, like your own soul you would feel returning to the power of God. When we go to sacred places like Bethlehem, we're supposed to feel something, right? When we enter sacred time like Christmas, we're supposed to be someone different, right? Sometimes that's exactly what happens in us. when Eucharist becomes the body of Christ nourishing our souls, and a worship service becomes transcendent, enveloping us in the presence of divine love. And Christmas renews your faith, and God comes to you like personally, and you're made alive. But sometimes that's not what happens in us, and we wonder why. Sometimes communion just seems like a piece of bread, and worship just a bunch of sinners singing old songs half on key, and Christmas just boxes and wrapping paper and bills. Even Bethlehem can seem inaccessible for all the stuff we pile on it and all around it. Guess how Annie Dillard describes the experience of being at Bethlehem's grotto. She says, "Any patch of ground, anywhere, smacks more of God's presence on earth to me than did this marble grotto. The ugliness of the blunt and bumpy silver star impressed me. The pathetic pomp of the heavy tasseled brocades, the marble, the censers hanging from chains, the embroidered antependium, the aspergillium, the croziers, the ornate lamp, some human's idea of elegance, bespoke grand comedy that God puts up with it. And why should he not? Things here on earth get a whole lot worse than even bad taste." Maybe John Lennon had it right. "So this is Christmas. What have we done? What have we made of the simple animal barn that once welcomed the Christ child? What we've done to the Christmas place is nothing compared to what we've done to the Christmas story. We've marketed peace on earth as a holiday slogan to be intoned rather than a Christian promise to be lived out. We've hammer-toned joy to the world until it smacks less of invitation and more of emotive demand. We've wrung as much mystery out of the story we can squeeze and then cast it all in rose-hued glow. We've beaten such well-worn paths to plastic mangers until the story itself can seem worn out, trampled over, and buried under. And what we've done to the place and to the story is nothing compared to what we've done to ourselves. We've run ourselves in circles chasing fulfillment or just happiness or just satisfaction or just distraction. We do a lot of that. We're created with the dignity of being made in the image of the eternal God, and as soon as we are, we get busy paving over this identity, remaking ourselves in the image of whatever idol or distraction last caught our fancy. When we're done with our place, our story, our personhood, any patch of ground, anywhere, may smack more of God's presence on earth to you than the one you're standing on in life right now. Any life story may seem more hopeful than the one you're living right now. And any other person may seem more pregnant with sacred possibility than the one standing in the shoes you're wearing." Then again, that's just exactly where and how and when God goes to work. Or at least when we're ready for God's work to begin. On the first Christmas, that's what they thought about themselves, the Holy Family, before they knew they were the Holy Family. What am I doing here? Who am I? How can this be? How can God live in me? How can this possibly be the spot? How can it be now? Any patch of ground would smack more of God's presence than this stable right here, right now, in me. But right here is where God showed up. Right then, right in them. God has a way of doing that, choosing the right here to show up. The word to them is a good word to us. Do not be afraid. The Lord is with you, and nothing is impossible with God. That's at least a small part of what we gather to remember in Christmas time. Nothing is impossible with God. Not a creation out of nothing. Not a virgin birth. Not God with us. Not a word made flesh. Not an empty tomb. Not joy or hope or love or purpose in your life. Nothing is impossible with God. Once she'd left the place and ascended the stairs and gone outside the Church of the Nativity, Annie Dillard stood blinking in the hot sun of the modern world of cars honking and tour bus fumes and sellers honking their trinkets. It's like the day after Christmas singing Christmas carols next to a busy highway. It's the world as we know it, the one we wake up to every day. It's a world that can make the ancient world of nativity scenes seem a world away. It's a world that can make the old ancient promises seem absurd. It's a world that can make God seem so very old and quaint and my life force so very thin. Yet standing there, feet awkwardly shuffling toward the realities of life as she and we know it, Annie, like so many others, realized suddenly, quite without intending to, that the mystery had an unexpected grip on her. She says, I saw I had a minute to rush back from the van into the church and down the grotto stairs to kneel again at the silver star behind the brocade to prostrate myself under the lamps. And she ran back to the star, and she did. Just so, I think, we can come today rushing, just like we will be soon, in and out of our furious distractions, and some of us in and out of our dull aches and our worries. But today, even if just for today, we can rush back in into a darker room, quieter moment, to flames and sacred words and old songs, and find their ground that just may be holy, the ground your feet are on just now. Just exactly because our world is so different now, so disorienting to our spirits, some part of us cannot keep away from mystery. And so we come to kneel again, to sing, to pray, to hold a candle lit against the wind, and muster the courage to whisper a prayer for all the days to come. Lord, here I am, right here. Behold, right here in this moment, in this place in my life, on this patch of ground, here I am. Now, let it be to me according to your word. Let the word made flesh come alive in me.